This is Podcast on Infinite Earths, an unofficial DC Studios podcast where we discuss all things in the DC cinematic universe. I'm your host, Tyson, film student and beginner filmmaker.
And I'm your host, Porter, full-time editor and part-time filmmaker.
Welcome to our show. Well, welcome back, everybody. Excited to have you here again. We just watched Harley Quinn Season 5, Episode 6, and we are going to break it down. Porter, initial thoughts.
Initial thoughts. What an episode. I am honestly not too sure where they're going to go from here, but we got the very beginning. Harley Quinn and Lois Lane are investigating for like all of 30 seconds, and then that doesn't go anywhere. So, but Harley Quinn ends up at the Daily Planet, where she reunites with Clayface and Bane, and then Lena Luthor gets kicked off of the project, and we were right. She was going to be like ruling Metropolis in the bottle, and she comes in and she tells them their story to try and get the people to know about it. And they decide to throw a play, which is very unique. And it's a dorky, goofy episode, but it's a good change of pace. And I don't know. It was just like a different splash of like, okay, like this is unlike anything we've seen in the season so far. I'll take it. What are your thoughts?
I'm totally with you there. Unexpected, to say the least. It maybe made more sense coming off the previous episode where we're just really starting to lean into the absurdity now.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like Clayface especially is a big driver of that.
Yeah.
which is fun. But yeah, this episode, like there were moments that felt pretty key, right? With Lena no longer being teamed up with Brainiac. Brainiac finally figured out that his monkey was dead. Poor Coco.
I know.
And now we kind of got like a bit of an unhinged Brainiac, it seems like, right? Like he's really got no longer this dead monkey voice of reason in his head, right? Like he really can just kind of unleash his scary power, which we saw supposedly, right, with him attacking Frank so somebody could finally know the pain that he feels.
That is an interesting point. I didn't think of Coco as being like his voice of reason. But I think you're right. I think him dying does make him snap because he was kind of like the one keeping him level.
Right. Like as crazy as it was for him to be imagining Coco, strangely enough, like right through that insanity, that was the thing keeping him level. And now, right, this is like the official snapping point. They showed that very clearly, right, where he's like, am I crazy? And then Clayface starts singing like, I am crazy.
Yeah, totally.
And it seems pretty obvious, right, that right now that he has officially lost everything that he's loved, or at least realized it, it's time to get scary.
Yeah, like you mentioned, he kills Frank. Frank might be alive, but he appears to have killed him.
Right.
And he was like, oh, they'll feel the pain that I felt. Okay, here's my question. Will Brainiac actually care about the perfection meter anymore? Or do you think he's going to just start putting stuff into place to shrink Metropolis?
That's an interesting question. I feel like that's a strong possibility, actually, just because of the way that they ended the play, right? Even though it ended on an intermission.
Right.
It was with Clayface, right, grabbing, like, the gun and, like, shrinking the little image of Metropolis.
Right.
Because, according to his writer, Bane, that's the obvious reaction to kind of realizing that all is lost, right, is to just, like, almost like give up on the perfection, right? Shrink it and move on. Which it would be an interesting arc for episode 7, for them to just kind of like shrink it right there, full send, and then try and move on from there. I'm curious where they would take it.
Yeah, I feel like his shrinking, at least it's been shown to us, happens fairly quickly. Like, it's not a overly long process, right? He doesn't like turn on the shrinking ray and then it takes like a week, right? It seems like it's pretty instantaneous.
Right.
So if he decides to shrink it, like you said, that'll probably happen in the next episode. I wonder if he's going to, because he gave Ivy something to lose to hopefully make her feel more well. And earlier in the episode, she's kind of like, oh, like, I kind of get where Brainiac's coming from on like a sympathy level, where she's like, obviously he's a bad dude, but like, yeah, that would really suck to go through what he's gone through. Now, I don't think like Ivy's going to like turn or anything. That'd be crazy. But I wonder if Brainiac's going to almost watch her as like a, however she turns out is going to determine whether I shrink this city, right? Like, if Ivy's kind of like, hey guys, like, this sucks. I don't know. I wonder why he would make them lose something so they could feel how he feels, if just to immediately turn them to stone, essentially.
Totally. I thought that was an interesting moment when he like essentially turned to the camera and was just all like,
right,
you're the only one who knows how I feel. And I was like, is he talking to us? I was kind of confused about why they were doing that. And it seems like they kind of turned it towards like, he was a little bit talking about Ivy in that sense. I mean, he made mention about how he didn't understand how she could be with somebody as chaotic as Harley.
Right.
And if he really is trying to take away Frank so she can see where he's coming from officially, like, you'd have to imagine that he is looking for something from her, some sort of reaction, something that like will matter to him in some form or another.
Right. Yeah, I wonder if he's going to try to turn her. Also, I don't think that like Harley and Ivy are like splitting at the seams or whatever. I mean, at the beginning of the episode, we got this short blip about like Harley Quinn being like, oh, like, I'm a housewife, like, I don't do anything. That didn't really come to anything in this episode necessarily. Could be a future thing, but they seem to be doing fine. I don't see a reason why Ivy would kind of join Brainiac, unless losing Frank is like so monumental and that just makes her go crazy. But I don't see that happening.
It seems like a big deal to her for sure. I would primarily imagine that it becomes like a big deal almost in the opposite sense, that she would like blame Brainiac. She would find out it's Brainiac, and then she would be kind of the driving force in his like eventual takedown, right? Because nobody's allowed to take Frank from her.
That's a good point. Could totally have the opposite effect where she goes on a revenge spree, right? I just wonder how they, again, we've talked about this, like, how do you fight against Brainiac, especially at their power levels? Like, A, he has robots everywhere that are clearly able to just like disintegrate people.
Yeah.
And, or they're teleporting them like into space or something. Who knows? They disappear. But yeah, let alone like his own intellect. I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, it's possible that Metropolis already gets shrunk, and then later in the season, they have to go get Metropolis back from Brainiac. Like, maybe the whole season doesn't take place in Metropolis.
Like, it kind of becomes a bit of a Star Wars arc in that sense, right? Where they have to go to the big spaceship to save everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
You make a good point, though, that at their current levels, I mean, we saw how they reacted against Brainiac. It won't turn out well, especially for Harley, right? Like, they're essentially powerless.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like they'd have to get somebody a bit more powerful on their side. Once again, I can't forget Superman in this scenario. I feel like he would have to come back and, you know, be the unlikely ally, come out of his slump. Like, he would, I feel like he would be a necessity for them to take down Brainiac.
Yeah, no, that's true. They'd probably have to track him down. I'm sure that's where a bit more Lois Lane comes into play.
Totally.
Yeah, because I don't really see a way they are able to defeat him.
Yeah, so I was reading some reviews about kind of the show, and a couple people were saying that they feel like, especially after this last episode, that it's kind of lost, like, the Harley Quinn essence of the Harley Quinn show, that, like, essentially, it's no longer about Harley Quinn, that they've, like, introduced too many characters and too many kind of storylines that are giving character development to people that aren't kind of the titular character, Harley, right? So, I don't know. I read that, and watching this episode, I could kind of see where they're coming from, and especially with this end with Ivy, where it seems to be kind of her arc around Frank and all that kind of stuff, and where Harley's arc feels like a strong word, just because the kind of stuff that she's doing feels almost like sitcomish, right? Where it can be easily resolved at the end of the episode, right? I mean, this whole bit in this episode, right, was the little bit of, like, the story, and then she just has, like, this freak out about, like, how she can sing and be in a play too, and then she is in a play, but, like, not a lot of, like, growth there.
That's a good point. I mean, I get the argument that she's not the only character anymore, right? Like, thing is she's kind of wacky crazy, but in order to keep her that way, you do have to introduce characters that balance that out. Otherwise, the show will go off the rails.
Right.
So I always felt like all the other supporting characters were necessary from a story balance perspective. I've never been too bothered by, like, side characters getting a bit more screen time in a certain episode. But yeah, I don't know.
I'm kind of with you there, man, where even if that is the case, it's not a bother per se. It is kind of fun to see other people getting a bit of the spotlight. And, you know, after 5 seasons, I feel like Harley's had, like, some tremendous growth, right? And some really fun arcs. And even if that is the case where they're focusing less on her, I just don't see that as an issue. I think it's kind of cool that she can be, you know, the main character, the title character, but maybe just not the focus all the time, that there's room for others and kind of this silly, goofy DC. Like, it's kind of expanded beyond that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, because her arc in the first one, her arc was clearly about breaking free from the Joker. And then the second season, it was kind of about falling in love and getting with Ivy.
Yeah.
And season 3 and 4, it's kind of just been about their relationship. So from then on, it's kind of already become more of a dual protagonist thing going on. I could understand an argument saying that, like, it's not the same, right? But I think the characters they've added have added a lot of value to the show.
Totally. And I don't think they're terribly concerned about that.
No.
One of the scenes that made me, I think, laugh the hardest in all of Harley Quinn was when they, like, finished an episode and they, like, panned out, and it was just a couple of cartoon, like, guys sitting on the couch, and they just started, like, complaining about how, like, Harley Quinn is, like, lame and it's not even good anymore.
Right.
And that made me laugh so hard.
Yeah.
Because it totally, like, personified kind of that comic book guy mentality where, like, there are a lot of, you know, fans, I say in air quotes, like that, right, who are just, you know, they'll watch it because it's technically that, but they really just kind of want to hate on it or find things wrong with it. And I understand not being a fan of something, but I don't know, I've never understood, like, kind of hate watch mentality.
Yeah, I feel like you and I both try to go into things with a very open mindset, that mindset of, like, I'm going to hopefully enjoy it. I'm going to look for the good in it. I don't have to like it, but if I can find some good in it, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world.
Right. And as people, I mean, we've both tried to, like, write different things. We've shot a couple different things. I feel like there comes, like, a certain level of appreciation for what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
I feel like myself personally, before like I kind of got into this world, that there was a certain level of ignorance that kind of accompanied almost a like a bit of arrogance, where I was just like, oh man, why would they ever make something so bad, right?
Right.
But they're trying their best, and nobody intentionally makes something bad.
No, not at all. So I got some quick news. I remember hearing when they were kind of doing a lot of big announcements for the DCU stuff that Daniel Craig was set to play a character called Sergeant Rock in a movie, and it was going to be directed by Luca Guadagnino, who directed Call Me By Your Name, Challengers, Bones and All. Most recent movie is Queer, which also has Daniel Craig in it. So like, it was a pretty big deal. Sergeant Rock, as far as I know, he's kind of just a World War II veteran. I don't even know if he has any crazy superpowers. I think he's kind of more like a Rick Flag kind of character. So I'm very curious why they chose him to be like one of the earlier movies in this universe.
Yeah.
But as we've discussed, having no names opens up your possibilities, right? But it has just been announced that Daniel Craig is no longer going to be in that movie.
Oh.
The script is written by Justin, and I'm going to butcher this last name, Kuritskiz, who wrote Challengers and Queer, which both came out last year. It's supposed to start filming next year, in the summer of next year. So a possible 2027 release. But yeah, there's not too much to know about it. Nobody knows why he left, and DC hasn't commented on it yet. But it's news. I mean, I would have loved to have seen Daniel Craig in a DC movie. I thought that would have been really cool. I love Daniel Craig.
Totally, same boat. He's a fantastic actor. Did they say that he left the project or that he was dropped?
They say he just left it.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it wasn't like they fired him from the very little that we know. That's right. The thing is, it's one of those news things where it's like you have the event that happened, but nobody knows any context surrounding it. Makes it kind of hard. It's a lot of speculation, but...
Well, this feels like a very... I mean, even now that we don't have Daniel Craig, like a very ambitious project on their end, primarily because he is an unknown, but I feel like they've had kind of the backing of, you know, in anything like Suicide Squad, Guardians of the Galaxy, Creature Commandos, like they've had the backing of a team, a group of people with dynamics bouncing off each other. Right. I can't really think of one where they've just kind of full sent on an individual unknown, because that's kind of a lot to build up, right? Typically, it's just a person that we know, and it's kind of exciting to get the backstory because we've read the comic books and whatnot. But I'm very curious where they're going with this, especially getting a director who's been directing so many like just very, very artsy, relationally based movies. That doesn't feel like a very DC vibe, so I'm incredibly curious how that's going to turn out.
That is a great point about unknown characters kind of being more of a group setting. Even with the new Superman movie, you got Hot Girl and Mr. Terrific and in their team, right? But yeah, I mean, who knows, maybe they'll play it off as kind of a more traditional war movie with some superhero elements, but not going to lean too hard into that. If it's coming out in 2027, it hopefully comes out the same year as the Batman Part 2, which all eyes will be on that thing, right? So hopefully people will be like, oh yeah, DC, that's awesome. And then they'll go see this lesser known Sergeant Rock.
And there can be kind of some propulsion there. I like that idea. Yeah, that even if he's an unknown, being in a release year of such a known, that there would be some hype around that. I would love that. I mean, just hearing about it now, I'm kind of excited.
Yeah, it'll be a good one. But yeah, if we learn any more, we will keep each other posted. Well, this has been a podcast on Infinite Earths, where we release episodes every Monday on all things DC Studios. I'm your host, Porter.
And I'm your host, Tyson.
And we'll catch you next week.
See you later.